The Holy Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 15, at verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So far the reading. You may be seated. In the name of our Lord, note that our reading is from the 15th chapter of the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, the 15th chapter of the Apostle's great essay on Christian teaching. It comes from near the end of the epistle. The Apostle is wrapping things up here after taking the reader through all of the essentials of Christian teaching and laying them out in clear fashion. He began by demonstrating his authority as an apostle, one who is called and sent by Christ himself to give to mankind the revelation of God in the inspired text of sacred scripture. He has pronounced the sweeping diagnosis of the problem of humanity since the fall into sin. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. There is none righteous, no, not one. All the world stands guilty before him, and the wages of sin is death in all its dimensions, no exceptions. The law of God demands righteousness, but it can only frustrate us by making us aware continually of our inability to live up to what it demands. But then the apostle lays out clearly what God has done to provide salvation for the helpless and the hopeless. What we could not do for ourselves, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And in the miracle of the incarnation, God made him, his Son in human flesh, the sacrifice of atonement. He was delivered up to death in our place for our offenses, and then was raised again from the dead to provide us with the verdict of justification. You are not guilty. You are forgiven. You are acquitted. You are absolved, because of what has been done for you by God in human flesh. And so the gift of God is eternal life, won for us by our Lord. That gift is distributed among mankind through the gospel, which is the power of God for our salvation. The gospel reveals to us and powerfully imparts to us the righteousness which the Son of God won for us. That righteousness becomes the possession of the individual by faith alone. The believer is justified in this faith. Apart from the works of the law, the miracle of faith in the heart comes into being through the hearing of the word. But having faith doesn't take us out of this world immediately, nor does it relieve us immediately of the reality of our sinful human nature. The demands of the law continue to accuse us of our many shortcomings, and death looms before us as the last great enemy, as St. Paul calls it. Having been justified by faith, we live in the hope of seeing the glory of God in the resurrection to eternal life, but not in the possession of it. And so here's the challenge. How can we maintain hope of a resurrection to perfect and eternal blessedness in body and soul when our own sinful flesh, the law of God, and our helplessness in the face of imminent death contradict that hope? And furthermore, the devil is on the prowl, and his goal is to deprive us of faith and hope, and it so happens that he's very good at what he does. He delights in driving people to despair. The devil is the great accuser. He's the prosecutor, and he has all the evidence on his side. In the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, St. John describes Satan as the one who accuses the faithful before God. And not only that, he does so day and night. He does so continuously. He accuses relentlessly. And there is absolutely no let up in his work. And what is the goal of his relentless accusations? The goal is to drive the faithful to despair. And so he works every angle and brings all the evidence to bear on the situation. The Renaissance poet Dante had it right when he put this inscription over the gate to hell, the domain of the devil, "All hope abandon, you who enter here." And so we come to the 15th chapter of the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, and here we find the apostle addressing our need in the face of the accusations of the devil, our own flesh, and the law of God, and death. He writes towards the beginning of the chapter, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, so that we, through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, might have hope." It's the will of God that we should have hope, and God has given his holy and blessed word to provide us with that hope that we need for the long haul through this world. We need endurance, the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. We need encouragement. The devil in our own flesh will supply us with no end of difficult circumstances and discouragement, which drive us in the direction of despair. But we have the Word, and through it the Holy Spirit works with power to create faith, and along with that he supplies endurance and encouragement, and he enables us to live in hope. Does Satan accuse? Does he seek to drive us to despair? Yes, he does, and he does so continually. But for this very purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Does the law pronounce the curse of death on our sin? Yes, it does. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And he brings life and immortality to light by the gospel. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The apostle uses an expression in our brief reading for today, which is unique in all of Scripture, an expression that he applies to God. He calls him the God of hope. Isn't that an interesting expression? The God of hope. He says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And the hope we speak of here is not simply a psychology of optimism, or positive thinking, or possibility thinking, or whatever the popular and fashionable term of the day might be generated by slick media preachers. We speak here of real hope. Hope rooted in what God has done for us and what he has given us in the gospel. There is joy and peace in believing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to this living hope. And now we have a special prayer request for a fellow believer who faces imminent death. Please rise. Our prayer is for Jean Boyum, the mother of Brittany Boyum. Jean is suffering from a severe brain hemorrhage and now lingers near death. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, by your gracious invitation, we bring our petitions on behalf of your child, Jean Boyum. If it is your will, give medical aid that she may be restored to full health. We thank you for bringing her to the knowledge of her Savior and pray that she and the members of her family would now draw strength from your saving word and be lifted up in the hope you give us. We commit her into your loving arms through the merits of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we make our requests. Amen.